Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Tuesday and we watched a movie, so we get to
Yeah,
talk about a movie.
watch a good one. This is the second time I've seen this one. The first time I saw it, I remember liking it, but I couldn't remember much about it. And I saw it again the second time and fucking liked it a lot more. This movie's way ahead of its time. I
It
mean,
really was.
you can see how much Night of the Living Dead ripped this off.
Yeah, Danny Rowling just said that. In my opinion, George Romero definitely ripped off this film. With the, yeah, I
A lot
mean.
of the scenes he ripped off just straight up, like the porch scenes
I
and
mean, I don't know
stuff
if
and
I'd say, like, ripped off, because he did acknowledge that this was, like, an influence. Because honestly, even though the monsters in The Last Man on Earth are technically vampires, the way that they act is kind of, like, zombie-like.
They're George Romero ghouls, but they can talk.
Yeah, they're just like not that bright and like not they're strong that not that strong and they kind of like shamble around.
Yeah, and if they knew somebody in life, they'll call their name, but they don't seem to have conversations per se. They just come back to your house calling you.
Yeah, pretty
Yeah,
much. It seems
calling
like
for
that's
you.
kind of, which is something that old school vampires used to do. But I say, like, I mean, in the book and in this version of the movie, which is the most faithful to the novel, they're specifically like they have all the trappings of vampires. You know what I mean? Like they're afraid of garlic and they're afraid of their reflection, and you have to kill them with stakes. Although I think that some of them get shot later and they still die. So maybe, I
You
don't
need the
know.
stakes to keep them dead, I
Yeah,
think,
that's
just to
right.
keep them in the grave.
That's
Because he
right.
did that to the dog when the dog died.
That's right. Yeah, he left a stake in
The
there.
dog got vampirized.
Well, he was infected, so he figured he was like just gonna
And
take it.
watching it more closely, I see where the Charlton Heston's Omega Man got a lot of its inspiration. You know what I mean? It is a retelling of this story, but a lot of the tropes were kind of fucking continued on, or improved on. Like, first of all, they used his real name, like from the book Neville,
Yeah,
in
in this
Omega Man.
version, they call him Robert Morgan for some reason. Maybe they thought Neville was too weird a name. I don't know.
And in this one, he was working on the cure, and he had a cure, a blood, and it was in his blood because he got bit by a bat earlier on when in life when he was down in Central America, and it made him resistance to it, to this virus that it's a virus. They're mutants when they come out, and they're kind of vampiric when they come back. And he's got his own. He's still living in his house that he grew up in, or not grew up in, but lived in with his wife. It's all tricked up with like lines. I guess they're bells and booby traps and shit everywhere. Mirrors and they don't like the ghouls don't like their own reflection, and they don't like the smell of garlic. It makes them it upsets them. So it is very much a vampire style zombie mutant type thing. But you can see where they used all that and put it in Omega Man. Now, I'm gonna say right off the top, I like Omega Man better. But I like this movie too. This movie is also good. It's up there with like Night of the Living Dead. Maybe a little bit
Well,
better.
and I feel like
Maybe.
this movie doesn't really get a lot of credit for being really influential on the zombie genre, being influential on Night of the Living Dead in particular. Before this came out, I mean, you had like some zombie movies back in the 40s that were more like, Haitian zombie type movies. And I think that in the 50s, maybe the late 50s, I think there were one or two sci-fi movies that were kind of had to do with aliens taking over corpses. Well, I think Plan 9 from Outer Space did that, and I think there was another movie that did that. But this was kind of the first one that had what you would recognize as like a Romero type zombie, and this came out like 4 years before Night of the Living Dead.
Now, on a side note, the band, Rob Zombie's first band, White Zombie, did a song called fucking I Am Legend. All right. And it's quoting the book, this movie, and Omega Man, all of it in the same lyrics. I fucking love the song. And when you watch both movies, you can pick out what Rob Zombie was talking about in some of those lyrics. He's meshing them together, but they're kind of homaging all three, the book, the movie, and Omega Man. Good song. It's on YouTube. I Am Legend.
I
White
mean, the
Zombie.
thing about it is that I've seen this movie a couple times, but I hadn't seen it in a while. And watching it again, I had forgotten how, one, how close this was to the book, and two, how different it was from Omega Man. Yeah. I mean, Omega Man, they kind of went their, it's similar, but they kind of went their own direction with it. They had, like, a bunch of other shit going on. This one is pretty similar to the book. The ending is slightly different, but that's about it. I mean, they changed a couple things, but not really anything. I mean, Richard Matheson, who wrote I Am Legend, which had come out, I think, in the 50s, and he actually wrote the first screenplay for this. But he didn't really like how the movie was turning out, and so he still had to get credited so he could get royalties. So he was credited as Logan Swanton on the thing. But after he sort of, like, turned in his thing and, like, the directors kind of, like, futzed with it. Well, see, what happened was originally Hammer was supposed to make this. They were supposed to do the adaptation. And then, like, there were some issues and they couldn't end up making it. So it was supposed to be, Hammer was supposed to do it. And they told Richard Matheson that Fritz Lang was going to direct it, of M and Metropolis fame. And Richard Matheson was jacked. He was like, yes, that's going to be awesome. But then they couldn't get Fritz Lang, or he wasn't going to do it, or something like that. And so the guy that they ended up, it, this actually has two directors, because it was shot in Italy, like, to be cheap. So it's, the whole thing was shot in Rome, even though it's supposed to be L.A. And so it has, like, an Italian director who doesn't have really that many credits. I think it's this one, like, one other movie. And then, like, the other guy, the American director, Sidney Salkow. And he's kind of like, he's done a shit ton of movies. Mostly it seemed like, when I was looking at his IMDb, it mostly seems like war movies, like crime dramas, westerns. He did a lot of stuff. He did some episodes of The Addams Family and Lassie and shit like that. He did direct Twice Told Tales, which also had Vincent Price in it. That came out in 1963. That was like a horror anthology, which was three stories from, like, Nathaniel Hawthorne. And I've always kind of wanted to see that. I think it's free on Amazon Prime, because I've read all the stories that it's based on, but I don't think I've ever seen it. So when that guy came on, Richard Matheson said something bitchy like, oh, well, that's a step down, isn't it? Like, from Fritz Lang, which I guess that's true, but he was kind of mad about it. So that was kind of why he had his name. But he did say he didn't love the movie, but he did say that it was the most faithful to his novel. So he appreciated that.
I thought it was good.
I like it, too. Yeah. I kind of feel like it didn't really get, I think it kind of got shit on at the time a little bit, like when it came out in the 60s, but I think time has been kind of kind to it. I don't love the overdubbing, but because it was an Italian production, that was just kind of what they did, because you can tell that, like, a lot of the voices really are overdubbed. I noticed it.
Because to me, it's just like another cheap movie, kind of like Night of the Living Dead, but the scope is a little bit bigger. The first time I saw it was black and white. There's a colorized version you can see for free now, too.
We watched the colorized version. It was
Amazon Prime, right?
It was Freevee, which I guess is like free with ads, like if you're on Amazon Prime. So we watched it free with ads, but it was the colorized
version. It's worth seeing. If you like Night of the Living Dead and Omega Man, hell yeah, you want to see it. It's good. There is differences between the two. But they're just kind of different interpretations between the two movies. Like, for instance, in I Am Legend, the basic mutant is like a George Romero zombie, but they can talk a little bit, and they have vampire-type features. But later on in the movie, you find out that there are other ones that are like normal humans that have it, but they're resistant to it. And they were in this... They had kind of come up with a halfway cure to keep them from flipping over all the way. And in the Charlton Heston version, they have that. It's called the family, all right, which is very similar, but they're kind of like different interpretations for the time. In this one, they're more like fascists. They're wearing like Mussolini fascists. They're all in black. They're kind of paramilitary looking, and they're trying to form a new country. A country based on damn vampires, I guess. And they're
all that's left.
They're all that's left.
So,
and they see Vincent Price as kind of like a relic of the past, and that he's evil. He's going around killing all these other people who turned into zombies, and some of them were still alive when he killed them. They hadn't even turned yet. He was still killed. So that's that. They see him as a monster.
So they were afraid of him.
They were afraid of him.
Yeah.
Okay. In the Charlton Heston one, instead of them being Mussolini fascists, they're more like Antifa. and they're eco-terrorists. They're doing it because mankind, they're destroying all technology and the memory of man, and trying to burn and all, they're burning all the books, and because they're saying that man destroyed the earth, and he had risen himself above with his arrogance and his science, and they're going to make everything right, and everyone's equal now. We're all the same color, because they all turn into damn, they all go albino in Omega Man. So you can see how they kind of changed it for the times, you know what I mean? Fucking, because Omega Man was late 60s, early 70s when they came out with that. And it was kind of like something you would see from like anti-war protesters, you know, in a certain aspect. That's kind of how it was. Antifa, basically. That's what the family was. But they didn't show any other kind of zombies or whatever you want to call them, mutants. And that one, they were mutants. Just those, just the family. I thought it was handled well. I thought it was handled real well in both movies. Although you said the first one is closer to the book. I haven't read it.
Way closer.
Yeah. Yeah, they just tried to update it, you know, in the second
one. I mean, the only things that they changed from the book in Last Man on Earth, yeah, they changed his name. I think the situation with Ruth, like the woman that was infected, but they had this sort of like partial vaccine that you could take it and it would kind of like stave off, but it wasn't, you had to like keep injecting yourself with it.
Yeah.
The situation with her was slightly different. Like, she ended up escaping, and at the end of the book, he doesn't get killed, but they're about to execute him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think in the book too, it was slightly bleaker, because in the movie, he's kind of like, oh, his blood could cure her. And he's like, oh, well, we'll go and, you know, we'll cure all the people. And then they end up killing him, so yeah, they don't get the blood.
Yeah.
They still have their own cure, but it's not perfect. You know, it's temporary. But in the book, there isn't a cure. Like, there's a temporary cure, but his blood doesn't cure anything.
Yeah. And both movies kind of handle his death the same way. There's kind of a religious motif, kind of the crucifixion, and then they get the blood, or they don't get the blood. In the Charlton Heston version, they get his blood, so there's hope for the future.
Yeah, so they made the ending more hopeful. Whereas this one has a more bleak ending, just like the book had.
Right.
Like I said, he, you know, spoiler alert for a movie that's from 1964, but Vincent Price gets killed at the end of this.
Yeah.
And in the book, it's implied that he's going to get killed because he's about to be executed. Like, that's when the book ends. But as I said, in the book, his blood doesn't cure anything. It's not like it. So that was added, like, into the shit later.
Yeah.
But as I said, I had forgotten how different Omega Man was from the book. As, I mean, I've read the book, like, a couple of times. It's been a while, but
Omega Man does not have as many flashbacks into the pre-pandemic.
Yeah, era. Last Man on Earth, it's
a lot of flashbacks.
It sets up the world. Like, everyone's right. Dead. Vincent Price is the only guy left. And it kind of shows, like, his daily routine. Like,
what happened to his wife?
Like, wait a minute. Like, I'm talking about, like, present day.
Oh, okay.
Because this movie came out in 1964, but the part of it that's not flashback is supposed to be 1968.
Yeah.
So
it's in the future for their point of view. It's futuristic.
So they show what his daily routine is now that the world's gone to shit and everyone's dead.
Yeah, it died in 1965.
Yeah.
Which is relevant to the fucking White Zombie album, because he quoted 1965 all the time, because a lot of shit happened in 1965 in fucking Rob Zombie's mind.
So it's just showing his daily thing. Like, he gets up, he makes steaks for the day, he has this big map because he's looking for the nest where, like, all the vampires sleep during the day, because he wants to, like, wipe them all out at once. So he's been doing, like, a grid system, like, going around, like, killing whatever once he finds, and he's trying to, like, find where the bulk of them are. So he's just shown, like, driving around all day, like, getting gas, doing shit like that. He takes some, like, vampires that he kills, and there's, like, a big pit, and he puts them in the pit and, like, burns them and shit like that. And then at night, all of the vampires, not all of them, but like, you know, some of them, including like his, a guy that was his buddy, like before, was his coworker before the pandemic happened, comes to his room, like, Morgan, come out. Come on. You know what I mean?
They got funny voices.
Yeah. Well, Morgan. I mean, he's pretty much the only one that talks to any. I mean, his wife talks when she comes back, but but after that, like after they set everything up and they establish that he's kind of like losing his marbles because it's been 3 years and he's hasn't seen another person and he's just been doing this like every day.
Mega Man was like that too.
And then and then it jumps back into like a very long flashback where it's showing you what it was like when the pandemic happened and like when it was getting really bad and like, you know, they're trying to, oh, it'll be okay, they'll figure something out, and he's like trying to work on the cure in the lab and shit like that, and then everybody gets it, and then his daughter gets it, and then his wife gets it, and it's just like, it's really horrific. So I kind of like the way they did that, but it's like the flashbacks are, it's not like
they're grisly too.
They are pretty grisly. I mean,
they show society collapsing. It's good post-apocalyptic B-movie fun. But it's kind of dark, you know what I mean, of the shit that happens. They're taking people before they're dead and killing them, it seems like.
It's implied, that his daughter was still alive.
When they took her, and
they don't say that outright, but he comes back home because the daughter was sick, and he's like, you can't call a doctor, you can't call anybody because they'll come and get her. Because, you know, they're quarantining everybody and they're killing the people that have it. And he comes back from it, and the people had come and taken the daughter. And so he runs down to the pit. And he's like, where's my daughter? Like, looking at all the trucks and everything. And the guy just says to him, it's like, a lot of people's daughters are down there, including mine.
Yeah, my daughter's down there, too.
And
which I thought that was a great touch. It's like, you know, the authorities weren't necessarily the bad guys. All of society was fucking falling apart. They were trying to stop it.
But it was, like, too late by the time that they... Because they figured out... Weren't they, like, talking earlier about how it was airborne and, like, it spread really fast and shit like that? And it seemed like hardly anybody was immune.
Yeah. It was good, apocalyptic, low budget. I mean, for how low the budget is, you could buy it. I go, okay, because you're driving around in empty cities, you know, empty parts of the city, fucking, you know, kind of bombed out and dirt, you know, places are kind of fucking pillaged, you know, and empty supermarkets. So I think they did a good job for the budget, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and then a dog just running up, and he's like, "Hey, dog!" You know, just in the dog running away, you know, just
like, "Oh shit!"
It's just kind of, which was some of the elements of the Omega Man that I liked. That kind of quiet, still, you know, there's nobody around. You're in a big city; it's falling apart. It's got pretty cool. He's basically doing urban exploration, urbex, like urbex video.
But you don't have to worry about getting arrested.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, there are no authorities or anything.
In a way, and I kind of feel like that's probably why a lot of people like post-apocalyptic stories. It's one of the reasons that I like them.
Yeah.
Because I'm just sitting there going, because I'm like, man, like the zombie vampires, Christian zombie vampire, the zombie vampires like fucked up his car, and then he's like, man, then he just like walks down to the fucking...
Gets another car.
And gets another one.
Yep.
So I was just like, wow, that's got to be cool. You could just... And he just like walks in the grocery store and like picks up whatever he needs, because he still had the grocery store that was near him, still had a big generator. And he was, like, keeping it running, so there was still, like, meat. So he'd been keeping it running for, like, 3 years. So he still had, like, the refrigeration kind of shit in the back.
There was beef in there.
There was hanging beef in there, and he was that's where he was keeping the garlic fresh and shit like that to keep the vampires away.
Yeah. When I first saw Omega Man, that's what kind of what got me, was the scene where Charlton Heston wrecks his car and goes into a dealership and talks to just like a fake, I love the color, I'll take it. You know? He's got a fucking Smith & Wesson MK760 submachine gun and with a flashlight on it, which was high tech, a diving light. It's high tech back in the day. And he just gasses it up and smashes it right out through the damn storefront window and fucking goes home in it. And as a kid, you know, growing up right outside of LA in Long Beach, I could recognize where he was. And it was just mind blowing, you know, like, wow. You know, I was trying to grasp what that would be like, an empty Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah.
I liked it. But that's kind of what got me into the Omega Man at an early age. I just played it on television a lot when I was a kid. And then I didn't know about this one until you told me about it a few years back. When I saw it, the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. But on a second viewing, it's better, much better. I think it might be one where it seems to be very rewatchable, and you probably notice more and appreciate it more with each viewing. Because I appreciated it more on the second viewing.
Yeah, it's definitely one that needs, and like I said, it definitely seemed like, because it was so low budget, and I think it kind of got shit on a lot, even Richard Matheson was just kind of like, eh, he didn't love it, he thought the directing was what he called inept, but I think time has kind of been kind to it.
It's not bad.
And honestly, this movie only came out 10 years after the book was published.
It's as good as Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
It's as good as that.
And it's sad because, much like Night of the Living Dead, this movie is also in the public domain.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what the fuck
it is. It's as good as Night of the Living Dead, but I would say they're offering different things. In Night of the Living Dead, the acting is a lot better. The main hero is a lot better. You say the main hero in this one is Vincent Price. He does a good job, too.
Yeah.
It's just a different story. It's more like, you know, survival against mindless hordes in Night of the Living Dead. This one, there's a little... There's more to it than that. Some of the zombies are like that, but they're inept and they're weak.
Yeah, it's not so much that he's not really worried that much about
the zombies. He's not scared of them.
I mean, he's not scared of them because like they can't really get in because they're kind of stupid and they're kind of weak and stuff like. And you can push them the hell over.
Yeah, just push them over and he's just
they're not
going.
Gonna...
He's going crazy trying to kill them all.
Yeah,
and he's searching the cities through grids trying to find out where their nest is and how to kill them all, and he's trying to get rid of all of them. He doesn't have any idea that some of them are half-human, basically, or humanoid.
And he feels bad, like, when the woman that he meets, like, tells him.
Yeah, she's like, some of those people weren't even dead.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, shit. Weren't even returned to life.
And he's like, I'm a murderer, then.
Right, well, that's where the fucking title I Am Legend comes from. He's a legend to those fucking half-vampire people.
Just the way that vampires were the legends humans prior to this shit taking over.
Yeah.
They don't really explain. I mean, it is kind of like, it's a virus, essentially, is what it is, or a bacteria.
It's a pandemic that kills you and you come back like the ghouls from Night of the Living Dead, but you have a lot of vampire ways, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And I mean, in the book, I think they were like a little bit faster, like they could run and stuff. But yeah, in this, you can totally see where George Romero got that. And I feel like enough people don't really like talk about that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Night of the Living Dead wasn't a masterpiece and that it was like groundbreaking and stuff. It was. I'm just saying that this movie was really influential on Night of the Living Dead. And I don't know if a lot of people know that because I feel like a lot of people maybe haven't seen it. Well, like you said, I feel like the Omega Man, a lot of people, like you had seen that a bunch of times. And I feel like a lot of people have seen that, but I don't know how common knowledge it is that this was the first adaptation of Richard Matheson's novel.
I didn't know about it. It's good. I liked the, towards the end when you find out that there's a damn Nazi, not a Nazi, a vampire army.
Yeah,
and when they show them, they're all in black. They look like Mussolini's black shirts, kind of. They're kind of futuristic for the situation. And they're all running around with M1 Garand rifles and submachine guns. Look like Swedish K submachine guns. And he's got to fight them. He's fighting them. They got submachine guns. All he has is some homemade smoke grenades to try to make
himself
vanish.
Doesn't he steal some shit from an armory or something? Like, while he's running away from him?
Yeah, he did. He did some stuff, but I got to go back and see it again. It kind of happened kind of fast. I looked away a couple times, and I looked back, something else happened. But he ends up getting killed. He runs into a church, and they kill him. In front of everybody.
And Ruth is, like, kind of trying to, like, she's trying to stop him because she's like, hey, his blood is, like, a cure.
It's a cure, right.
You know what I mean? Like I said, they had a partial cure, but it was just temporary. Right. So, I mean, he injected her, like, he gave her a transfusion of his blood while she was, like, knocked out. And it seemed to cure her, like, across the board. Like, she was okay again. She was human again. But... Kalon Higgins says, does the horde still spread through bites or open wounds in Last Man on Earth? They don't really specify. I think near the beginning, they talk about the virus being airborne, and they're saying they're hoping that it's not because it will spread faster. But I thought the implication was that it was airborne because it spread so quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They don't seem to eat anybody. They attack people. But they don't seem to eat them.
I mean, somebody said
to him.
I think somebody like the coworker of his, what was his name, Ben or whatever his name was. I think he said something about, oh, they won't drink my blood or something like that.
So they drink your blood.
I'm not sure, but I'm not sure if he said that because this was kind of before everything went to shit. It was just kind of like partially the way to shit. And he was saying, well, they're technically vampires. And Vincent Price, like, vampires don't exist. What are you talking about? That's supernatural shit. But he's like, yeah, well, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a fucking vampire. So I don't know if he was saying that they literally drank people's blood or if he was just saying that because, oh, maybe they drink people's blood because they, you know, act like vampires otherwise.
Yeah.
But they do seem to, like, attack people, but I don't really know. They don't, like, bite them or anything like that, I don't think.
They just got clubs. They just swing fucking pieces of boards and shit.
They're just, like, fucking up your house and fucking up your car.
Fuck up your car. Fuck your car.
Now, when Ruth ran out the house, they attacked her. The vampires did. But I couldn't tell if they were trying to bite her or if they were just doing something else.
They just showed up with a bunch of 2x4s and were swinging them things around. They busted up his car, and they're slow. Yeah. And then he goes out during the day to try to kill them, and there'll be dead ones laying out. Because if they get caught out in the sunlight, it kills them.
Yeah. Again,
so they'll be laying there dead.
Then he
doesn't care, though.
Then he has to throw them all in the back of the station wagon and take them to the pit.
Right.
So they don't, like, attract insects or whatever the hell. But I'm guessing, like, other animals got the shit too, because he seemed like when he saw the dog,
he was impressed.
He was, like, really, really happy, like, you're alive, you're alive.
Yeah.
So I guess it killed off a lot of the animals as well. So that's kind of sucks, because I guess you can't really hunt animals then. Like, if it killed all the...
Yeah. Khan says he'd never seen the version from the 60s. Oh, it's free. Go see it. It's good. Good.
Yeah, it's in the public domain, so you can see it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's pretty low budget, but I think you'll be surprised at how close it is to Night of the Living Dead. And it's easily, I mean, still, of the three adaptations of I Am Legend, I mean, this is easily the closest to the book.
Yeah.
It follows the book almost exactly. There's, like, a couple of things that it changed, but that's about it. Like, the ending is slightly different, and a couple little details are different.
I appreciate both versions. I like the Charlton Heston version better. I like Omega Man better, just as a movie. More happens in it. It's a little bit more modern. But I still like this one. I'd like it in the way that you like to see, Night of Living Dead. About like that. A little more complicated. A little more complicated story than Night of Living Dead. So instead of pure, like, horror and people getting eaten and shit like that, and just, like, that oppressive fear of trapped in the house, it's taking place at a bigger scale. He leaves the house. He goes places. There are characters that are non-human in it. You know, it's good. I don't want to say they're not human. They're infected, talking, you know.
Yeah.
And it shows more about the pandemic and the army, what they did, and, you know, how his wife went nuts, and it shows all that.
Yeah, pretty, like, how the daughter got sick and how the wife got sick. And then he, him not wanting to... I guess, like, he didn't want the same thing to happen to his wife that happened to his daughter, like, getting tossed in the fire pit. So when his wife died of the virus, he just buried her, and that's when he figured out that they come back, like, from the dead. Because he just buried her, and she came back to the house. She was like, Robert, like, came back to the house. That was, like, pretty creepy, actually. Yeah. So he ended up having to, like, stake her, and then he put her, like, in a church and, like, under a coffin and stuff like that. And he would go back to visit her. So I kind of feel like, I like that they did the long flashbacks, though, of, like, what happened before that. I feel like Omega Man didn't do that as much. Yeah. So, because it gave a lot more context, and, you know, I think it would have been different, like, if you had just had Vincent Price, like, just the whole time, like, going nuts, like, living by himself, you know what I mean? So I like that they had those long flashbacks, like, with him with his family, and it gave, like, more context and texture to the story, I think.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's very low budget, it's American International Pictures. You know, I would have loved to see Hammer get hold of this, because it probably would have been cool, but I really did like how this turned out. Vincent Price is great in it. It's overdubbed, and that kind of bothers me, but other than that, I really like this one. I like this one because it's the most faithful to book. I like Omega Man, too. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But they took a lot of liberties
in
Omega Man, but that's okay. It's its own thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Sly, if you haven't seen this movie, see it. If you like Night of Living Dead, you'd like this. They're in there fighting about what was better, this one or Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead is more iconic. It had more of an impact. Okay? They're both good movies. I'd probably say Night of the Living Dead is probably a better movie.
But I don't think anybody would argue with you
about that. Probably a better movie. But the thing is that after you've seen Night of the Living Dead so many times, you get sick of watching that same movie a lot, you can go to this one, and it's kind of the same play on that. It's a cross between Night of the Living Dead and Omega Man. It's like it's happening in the same movie.
Yeah, I mean, some of the scenes in this are very similar to scenes that would later turn up in Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think I'm pretty sure George Romero, he didn't like try to be sneaky about it. I mean, he basically
Night of the Living Dead was ripping this movie off.
pretty much.
But it's okay. They did a good job. They did a good job.
Like I said,
he
admitted it.
Yeah.
So that's
they admitted it, right.
He said, well, yeah, he's like, that was my inspiration.
They improved it, though. They might have improved it a bit.
Yeah.
But they're both low budget movies, you know? So this one inspired them to make, said, well, shit, they can make that movie. Then I can make Night of the Living Dead for less, you know? And fucking, there you go. They did it.
And in a way, I mean, this one is more, I think, impressive in terms of low budget because
bigger scope.
It has a bigger scope. I mean, obviously, they shot it in Rome and they had to shoot these big, like, empty streets and stuff. And I think they did a really good job. You know,
is it Rome? That's why they look like fucking Mussolini's fascists then.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Well, they shot it in Rome, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Even though the book is supposed to be, the book is L.A.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining that the movie was supposed to be L.A., but they didn't really say where it was.
I thought it was.
It's Rome.
They picked places that did kind of look like L.A., though.
Well, yeah, that's probably why they did that, because that's where the book was at, Los Angeles.
A lot of people don't know that Italy looks like California. That's why all the spaghetti westerns, when they're doing old west flicks, they did that out in the Italian desert because it looked like Southern California out near
the
desert.
Yeah, it's like
it looked about the same.
They're talking about, Kana Batsan says he hasn't seen this version or the Omega Man.
Oh, man, go ahead and check off.
Although he did see the Will Smith version of both endings.
The Will Smith version, they fucked it up bad because the mutants didn't talk. And the outbreak was not global, okay? It was just in a city. And you fucked up the movie then.
And Linwood Sly also said the Will Smith version was too much CGI. Ruined.
Yeah,
I didn't really like the way the mutants looked. And I didn't like a lot about that one.
The whole premise of the original story is that this man is the last man on Earth. He's a legend. The other people are not men anymore. They're monsters, and they are scared of him, and he is this legendary monster running around killing them.
Because he's killing them while they sleep.
So it's an inversion. Yeah, it is a global fucking pandemic. The whole world is fucking gone. Just these few survivors, and most of them are mutants. And this one dude who is immune to it, and he's a monster for them. And that Omega Man's exactly that same thing. Now, there are a couple of other people in Omega Man that had a limited resistance to it, which that happens in this one, too. But it's a different, there's two different versions of the partly immune in Omega Man. Most of the people just died immediately. Other ones were turned into basically psychopathic albinos who were fucking crazy. All right. And they were like eco-terrorists and Antifa combined together. Trying to kill the last white man, it was his fault. Him and his fucking accursed technology and all of his science that destroyed the Earth, you know what I mean? So they're going after him. And then there was another group of people that were infected, but they never quite flipped. They were still human, but they were infected. They would flip, but they flipped a lot slowly. So, you know, Omega Man kind of maybe has had a little bit more of a medical realism, maybe something like that might happen. They were partially resistant to it. It's a good movie. They're both great movies. But for Khan of Aztlan, I would watch Omega Man first. And then you can go back and watch this one too. I like Omega Man. Out of the two, I like Omega Man. She probably likes this one out of the two.
Because I love the book, and this one is not exactly accurate, but it is way more accurate than the Omega Man is.
Yeah.
Hugo says, are you going to review I Am Legend at some point?
Yeah, next.
Like the Will Smith version?
Yeah, they requested all three.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that one because I saw it one time and did not care for it.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to give it another shot because it's been a while since I've seen it. Maybe it's not as bad as I remembered.
Somebody mentioned that there's an alternate ending, and the alternate ending is better than the theatrical.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. Because I think I saw the theatrical version. Did I see that in the theater? Maybe I did. I feel like the theatrical version I was just kind of like, nope.
My problem with the movie when I saw it was that it wasn't a global pandemic, and he wasn't the last man. There were people on the outside that were helping him. He had radio contact with them. It was just in the city.
Yeah, it's like, so that like so negates the whole entire right point of the book. The whole entire point of the book, why it's called I Am Legend. Yeah. Like I said, it's inverting, right. You know, in the original story, it was vampires. It's inverting like, oh, vampires are a legend to humans, but now everyone's vampires, so he's the legend to them. Yeah. Like, because they're the only ones left, and they're making the new society.
And then the monsters in Will Smith's version were basically rage zombies. That's all. Roided out rage zombies.
Which they probably got from 28 Days Later.
Yeah, and they couldn't talk. Or the crazies. So there goes, there's no chances of having any characters, you know. They should have been more like something out of Omega Man. A cult of mutants that saw fucking Neville. Like out of Omega Man, they saw him as a relic of the past that had to go. And it was all his fault, you know, so... That would have made it for a much more interesting movie.
Yeah, I think in Last Man on Earth, they don't really like imply that they think it's his fault. It's just that they're scared of him.
Right.
And kind of rightly so, because like I said, some of those people were still alive and he was just going around like killing them with impunity.
In Omega Man, it was his fault though. He made that pandemic.
Yeah, but in Last Man on Earth, it wasn't.
Yeah, he made that pandemic. He was a military scientist who made that bioweapon. It got out and he was able to give himself the experimental cure. And was going to disseminate it, but the helicopter he was in got shot down or crashed somehow. I forgot why.
And you know what's weird? I think in the original book, and this might be another change, I don't think he was a scientist in the book. I think he was just a dude that worked at a factory or something like just a random guy.
Mega Man was an amalgamation of a bunch of concepts, I guess, from that first movie and the book, because he was a scientist in the movie.
Yeah, and he's a scientist in this one, too. Yeah. In Last Man on Earth, also.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. He's a scientist in this movie, and he was a scientist in Omega Man, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Linwood Sly said, I've seen Night of the Living Dead 1,000 times, and Last Man and Omega Man did not care for Vincent's black and white version. If it was in color, possibly like it more. Yeah, the version that's on Amazon Prime, I think if you go on Amazon Prime, and it's called Freevee.
They have both
versions. Have the black and white version and the colorized version.
Yeah, the colorized version was good.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, actually. Yeah, I mean, every time I've seen it before, I've seen it in black and white, but the colorized version actually looks pretty good, I think. But yeah, so, you know, if you haven't seen it, go check it out, especially if you're into Night of the Living Dead. You can be like, oh, that's where George Romero got that idea.
And we're going to be talking about Omega Man soon.
And also read the book, because the book is really, really good. Yeah. I mean, it's a fucking iconic horror novel of the 20th century, so everybody should read it. Actually read all of Richard Matheson's stuff, because all his stuff is amazing. All right, so I guess, what's it? It's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
All right, so tomorrow is our big main show. And because we had a tie in the Patreon poll, and because the tie was between two things that are paranormal, I just decided, fuck it, we're going to talk about them both on one show. So we're going to talk about, is it Huska Castle or Hauska Castle? That place in the Czech Republic that, you know, they say is like a, you know, over the doorway to hell or whatever. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to do like sort of a revisit sort of thing of the Doris Bither entity case, the haunting case.
Yeah, hold on. I got to talk to Pat real quick. He said, I saw the group in Omega Man as a cult. Well, what the fuck do you think they were?
Yeah, they're a cult.
They were a cult, but they were a cult of fucking mutants. They were all albinos, and they were psychopaths. It drove them crazy, and they had taken over the last vestiges of government. They were living in City Hall, and they had put on religious robes and stuff because they were kind of like a religious order to stamp out. It was kind of like the Inquisition, and they were kind of like eco-terrorists, and they were like Antifa. They were like everything, all just put in together. Go back and listen to what they say. You'll recognize it. You hear people talking that way now. That's a good movie.
Connor Vatslan says, Jenny, have you ever done the Blind Dead series by Armando D'Osorio? I haven't, but I have all of them. Like, somebody sent them to me, like, in the big coffin box. So, yeah, I'll get around to them eventually. But, yeah, so thanks for dropping by today. Hopefully we'll see you guys for our big paranormal show tomorrow. That should be really fun. So yeah, thanks everybody for dropping by. We'll see you guys tomorrow evening. Bye.